Well, it's that time where we can pause and have a conversation with God. We call it prayer, but really it's just a way of saying, hey, God, this is us. Sitting down, letting him know how we're feeling, giving him our thanks, appreciating him. Sitting down saying, hey, you know what's been going on this week, Lord? Sharing our needs, laying that before him. And maybe you're sharing something like, hey, God, that was so great this week, giving him thanks and just enjoying the gifts that he's given us, whatever they are. So it's also something that we do as a group. It's like having a potluck, and we sit around the table, and Jesus is at the head, and we can openly share what's going on in our lives. So I invite you to share any cares or concern or moments of joy or thanksgiving that you might have today, if there's anything. Let's come. Pardon me? The world, overwhelming. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, it's so wonderful to sit at this table with you, to have a time of celebration, which we call worship, a time to just thank you for inviting us. Thank you for all the good provision that you've given us, to express, wow, this is such a gift. This tastes so good. Lord, you feed us every day in so many ways, and we're so grateful. And Father, as we sit together as a family today, as a church family, as your adopted children into the kingdom of God, we want to share with you what's on our hearts and what's in our mind and what happened in our day. First of all, we want to thank you that you have provided for us. We woke up, hopefully, in air conditioning this morning, if everything functioned well. We got here in a car. We had breakfast. We had our coffee, our tea. We're so grateful, Lord, for all of these things that we take for granted each and every day. And Lord, we recognize that some of us who are recovering from surgery woke up a little slower and a little more pain. We think of Tara, we think of Diane. We pray that you would be with them in their recovery. We think of those who aren't able to come today because they're caregivers and have to be by the side of another person, giving of their time, their energy and their patience. We pray that you would give them strength, Lord, for this day to day. So we pray specifically for Val and for Marie, for others, Lord, that are caregiving. We think of those who can no longer worship with us. We think of Shirley. We think of Carol. We think of those who are traveling. Lord, we pray that you would bless them in their travels, in their vacation time. Father, we see a world and we don't even know how to communicate our concern and our anxious thoughts and some of our worries. And we pray that you would come to us. May we keep our eyes on you. May we trust you, the God who's got the whole world in his hands. May we experience the peace that Christ has us. And Lord, not that means that life is going to be hunky-dory or that things are going to be great, but that it means we can trust that you will see us through it. And Lord, may that bring us hope and keep us in hope, and may that bring us joy and keep us in the joy of knowing that you are our God. And so, Father, we pray for those who choose war and conflict over peace and welfare of their countries. We pray for those that are running who find themselves in refugee camps, for those that have found their homes and their jobs are lost due to war and don't have food on their table. We think of those who are in constant poverty because of where they live. Lord, whatever it is we can offer, we offer it. And may it bless you. May it bless those. May they experience that cup of cold water that nourishes them and sustains them, that we might be the answer to their prayers. And to be honest, Lord, we don't always know what we need. We don't always know what we need for peace. We don't always know what we need for our own bodies and our day-to-day. And so we wonder, how do we come to you? And Lord, so we just lay it before you and we pray as you taught us to pray, knowing that your Spirit intercedes for us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning we have several scripture passages, but I think it's important for us to just be rooted in what God is saying to us this morning. The first one, and I did cut them down a little bit, but the first one from Genesis 1, verses 24 through 31. So this is days 4, 5, and 6 of creation, where God has already separated the land and the sea and put in the stars and the waters and those things. Then God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. And of course, on the seventh, he rested. Psalm 104, verses 24 through 30. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There are the ships that go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. And our last scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6. There therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store, or put away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as some of you alluded this morning, there's increased concern about what's happening in our world. Particularly the economy, people asking the question, are we going to be able to support ourselves in our retirement, in our lifestyle? How is our standard of living going to change? It looks like it's eroding. It seems exponentially. There's worry about taxes and tariffs, inflation, employment, managing debt. And we begin to wonder, is there enough to go around? Uncertainty is everywhere. Maybe some of you experience those tensions. And yet, this morning, our scripture passages indicate that when God created things, he created it with it all. Provision for everything. So that he created the heavens so they could hold the stars. So that he created the land and the water so that the animals could eat. So that he created all of it to sustain human life. It has full provision. Psalm 104, which we also read in its entirety, actually kind of repeats the creation story and talks about the delight of a Leviathan frolicking in the water. It's a beautiful picture of God creating things that he enjoyed, that we can enjoy. The psalmist even talks about how ships use the water to bring goods back and forth to other nations. It's all for our enjoyment, and it is by the grace of God. Scripture gives witness that there's enough, there's plenty to go around. So do not worry, Christ says in Matthew 6 when he's talking to people. It's an imperative, it's a command. Do not worry about what you will eat or wear or live, because God knows that you need those things. So take a rest from your worry. Take a Sabbath. Sabbath, too, was a creational provision. God created, he was busy, he was thinking up things, he was dreaming things, he was molding things, he was breathing the life breath of his spirit into things, and then he rested for a whole day, did nothing but enjoy it, and invited his creation to do the same. Just rest from your labor. Relax. But then he also, as we learn, when he brings the people of Israel into their promised land, he says, I want you to continue this idea of Sabbath rest So you're going to do it once a day, every 7 days, and then you're going to do it at the seventh year after 7 years, and in 7 years, that seventh Sabbath rest, you're not going to plant anything in your garden. You're going to rejuvenate the land. Let it rest. And if you need to go back and learn a little bit more about Jubilee, that's another 7 times 7 years in which we have a 50th year of really resting in so many ways. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. Rest from your worries. Rest from your labor. Sabbath called humanity to focus on several things. I mean, I'm not going to expand on it all here, but I'll introduce you. Sabbath is resting from our work with a purpose. To, as Jesus calls us in Matthew 6, to seek first the kingdom and do right. It's a time to reflect, a time to rejuvenate, to intentionally worship God and have that conversation with God and go, how do I live out right living, righteousness for you? How do I enjoy you so that we can build this conversation? You ever have a 10-minute conversation with someone, maybe a stranger? You learn so much about them just spending time together. God says, that's what my Sabbath rest is all about. Let's spend time together. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Sabbath is rest for the soul. And it regenerates it, and it regenerates our relationship with the Creator. And it's while we're sitting there at His feet, just having these conversations, resting, enjoying everything that He's given us, that we find the real peace and rest that we need to continue living. Well, Sabbath is also a time to trust in God's provision. We don't need to work our butts off and run here and there. We tend to do that nowadays. We're like, I'm so busy. I got no time to rest. That even when we're sleeping, our minds are still going 500 miles an hour. But God has and will provide what we need. That's what His word says. Did slaving the extra 5 hours this week get you any further ahead? Jesus says, I created Sabbath rest for you. Sabbath made for His creation so that they wouldn't have to live exhausted. Well, let's just expand on this idea of provisional trust. It's very true that there are those whose story cannot speak of abundance or provision in this world. We need only to wander downtown and see all of those suffering deep poverty, no food, little shelter, mental health struggles. And we only need to hear the cries from around the world of those living in deeply impoverished countries where there's no access to food banks. No access to shelter or social services like our poor can experience. In those areas of the world, their deepest concern, their deepest worries are, will I have clean water to drink today or will it make me sick? Will my child live through today? Will there be access to basic health care or will I pass away from a throat infection? Will I have access to education or fear persecution or worry about crop failure and my next meal for tomorrow or basic social justice? Are you curious about the top worries of Canadians? I browsed it. Apparently the top concerns for most Canadians are rising insurance costs, and I relate to that because we just had our insurance company go, hello, we're going to inspect your shop. And they had this infraction and that infraction, or concern, I should say. They didn't give me an infraction. And it cost us a whole lot of money to meet all those needs, and then they put our rates up. But we have insurance, and we should be thankful. But we worried about it, I'll be honest. Canadians also are concerned with inflation, job loss, stock market fluctuations, concerned about their retirement money, valid worries, all of them. And yet, comparatively speaking, we are far, far, far from experiencing deep poverty like the rest of the world. Overall, Canadians have way more than they need. You just drive down Upper James, and I think there's three or four storage, what do you call them, compounds, where people store the stuff they've forgotten about for years. And it has to bring us to a place of what causes this disparity between abundance and hunger? What causes all these environmental issues where we're having severe storms and winds and tornadoes and fires? And the answer is sin. As God's created people, we've been, as we just read, given authority and command to rule and steward the earth. Care for it. Care for the animals and the fruits that grow on the tree. Use only what we need for sustenance. And when sin entered the world, and we can all confess that, we all decided we're not going to do it God's way. We're not going to, and we don't want to share what we have because what if I need it tomorrow? You know, those skinny jeans from when you were in high school. You hanging on to them? We fight for our own survival, our own needs, and determine to get what we want, when we want it, how we want it. I did see a Mach 1 for sale over at the fairgrounds today. My heart was beating, I'm not going to lie. It was beautiful. I still can't buy it. Sin is everywhere. Sin is devastating our creation as well. If we go back in time, we can think of, you know, Buffalo Jump, a great place we love to visit in Alberta. And yet the reality was herds of buffalo were forced over this jump so that they would die or be injured and maimed and die somewhere else, only to get a little bit of food for each family. And they left thousands of buffalo with, you know, that they didn't need for meat, and they just rotted and almost came to extinction. Then there's the passenger pigeon. I mean, none of us like pigeons. They're messy. And the passenger pigeons were known and coming in hordes and thousands and making a mess of cities. And so it became a law. Go ahead, you can just shoot them all. Because they were in our way. And now none of them are in our way. They're gone. And of course, today we can talk about overfishing Lake Ontario for trout or all the little insects that we harm with the choices that we make to have better crops and better gardens. Did you know that North Americans waste 40% of the food that's produced on the earth? 61% of the waste comes from our own tables. You know, you go through the store and it's like, oh yeah, I want that, I want that, I want that. You shove it in your fridge and a week later you're like, what is that smell? 26% is thrown away from food services. 13% is thrown out of retail stores. And all of that producing of more food costs more water that we drain lakes, more fertilizers, more emissions, more harm to biodiversity. Canadians, and Christians particularly, need to transform. We need to shift our perspective. We have way more than we need to sustain life, most of us. And we have to confess that we're part of the problem, but we're also very much part of the solution. And this idea of Sabbath rest is about giving out of our abundance. Well, and that takes us to the year of Jubilee. And while, you know, it was instituted by God for every 50 years, it's actually something that believers should and could practice every single day. And if you want to get a little more in depth of that, you can look up our YouTube video from this past Easter. We talked about it. But Jubilee is about justice and equity. It's about recalibrating. It's God's profound framework for social and economic renewal. Just as a quick recap, the Israelites were commanded to release the slaves. You're free. Forgive debts. You owe me money, don't worry about it. We're done with that. And by the way, when you lent money, you were never supposed to charge interest. And return property to its original owner so that everyone had land to live off of. Everyone could build shelter on their land. It was a divine plan, a divine part of God's creation. Sabbath, rest, and it was intended to prevent the accumulation of wealth into the hands of just a few in order to ensure the whole community could thrive. It creates unity, it creates equity, it creates this all for one and one for all. And it gave the land rest to recoup. Now, I know we've got fertilizers and big equipment that does that and rejuvenates the land. That's great. What Jubilee did as a Sabbath, it called Christians into action as the ingredient to answered prayer for those who need. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's someone in need asking for basic food, shelter, and clothing, and they pray, and the ingredient that God needs is those who have abundance to share. So while we may be part of the problem, God calls us to work to being the solution. And as we trust God's provision, then we're able to generously give. And this is not a sermon to say that you're not giving. It is a sermon to let you know that creation was designed to have enough. It has enough to go around. And the creational mandate, our purpose, is God's command, go out, rule over the earth. Steward the earth, take care of it. And we need to take this purpose, this call of God on our lives seriously. And maybe it begins by thinking deeply to reframe our worries into trust. We worry about a lot of things, and it's not that we don't have a right to be concerned about those things. But how do we put that in light of God's provision and God's abundance in our own lives? And how do we then turn that around and give what we can? Will you be that boy who says, I made myself one heck of a lunch today, and I'm ready, but there's 5,000 other people, so let me give my little 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can imagine, he knew it wasn't going to feed everyone. He must have had a sense. I'm thinking a kid that makes a lunch that big, as I noted before, is probably a hungry, growing teenager. But he gave it because he trusted God's provision. And maybe we just need to ask ourselves the question every now and then, how bad really are things for me? And what abundance do I have that I can share? And I'm not just talking, and God's not just talking about your money. He's talking about your home. Can you open it up? Can you be hospitable? He's talking about your friendship. Do you have room in your little group of friends for more people who are hungry for friendship? Do you have, you know, an abundance of garden growing, what do you call it, vegetables, that you can share with others? Are you hoarding all your time for yourself? Or do you got time to take for others? Do you got time to Sabbath with God? God's given us an abundance, and we have to steward all of it for his kingdom, seeking his kingdom first. Now, I want to clarify, you know, there's nothing wrong with, I need a vacation. I'm going on one in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to enjoy it by myself with Henry. And we're going to sit and we're going to do nothing. God wants us to have that rest. And God also has never ever said, you who have a lot of money, that's sinful, that's bad if you've got a lot of stuff. He's never said that. What he did was challenge, how do you steward the abundance that you have? How do you share it? And so God calls us to be responsible image bearers with the blessings that he gave us. As God's kingdom builders, we're here to transform our lip service, maybe even some of our thoughts, into actual action and going out and doing it. So that we intentionally ensure that others have their basic needs met. We don't have to give them our great big house. But we want to continue supporting affordable housing. We want to continue supporting those food banks and those shelters, to supporting PWS&D or the Food Grains Bank. In comes the rock song we listened to earlier. I do really love you too. And not just because of the rock, but I enjoy that too. But because his poetry is always speaking justice. And this particular song, Crumbs from My Table, Bono makes a profound statement. Where you live should not decide whether you live or die. In other words, sorry you live in that part of the world. Three to a bed, Sister Anne, she said, dignity passes by. How many of us, oh, I've got one kid, I need three bedrooms. Everyone needs their space. And his cry may be from the poor themselves who say, you speak, you church people, about signs and wonders and how great God is, but I need something other than the talk. I would believe if only I was able, but I'm too weak, I'm too poor, I'm waiting for the crumbs from your table. You see, Christians are not just receivers of God's grace and his abundance. We are so privileged on what side of the world we live on. But our mandate is always to continue distributing whatever blessings we have. Maybe you feel like you don't have anything. You give money to someone on the street, and they go, thank you so much, God bless you. I'm like, you're blessing me. That's amazing. That's really, you're giving what you can back, a word of thanks. It is a jubilee call of Sabbath every day to restore what has been corrupted. And it's in as much as we can. God is serious about this. And he's not expecting us to change the whole world, because, you know, someone this morning just kind of said, kind of given up hope because, you know, we're doing everything and it doesn't seem to be making a difference. God isn't asking you for that. God is just asking us to be faithful with what we have and steward it as best as we can. It's his job, the guy who's got the whole world in his hand. He's going to take care of all of that other stuff. Because absolutely, we're going to worry and be overwhelmed when we think we got to change the whole world, because then what we're going to do is go, it's not making a difference, so I give up. And then we don't do anything. God just comes to each one of us and he says, I gave you life breath. Now go steward what you have. Follow my mandate. Live it as well as you can. You got three loaves? Great, give it. You got two fish? Great, give it. It's not going to feed maybe the 5,000. Only Jesus is going to multiply that. He just asks us to give what we can. Again, he's serious about this. And so I ask you to respond in the yellow from Micah 6, verse 8. God asks, or the prophet asks, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. This is part of seeking the kingdom of God first. Malachi also, God asks the question, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you do rob me, says the Lord. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And God answers in tithes and in offerings. And again, that's not just always financial. That was part of your crop. That was part of whatever abundance you had. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me, says the Lord. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me on this, says the Lord, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, I want us to be careful here. We're not preaching a prosperity gospel that we often hear on from other religious people who say, give more money, you'll get more money. And while that may be true, maybe God does open the storehouses, it's not so that you can say, woohoo, I'm rich. Rather, it's God says, oh, I can entrust you with this little bit. I'm going to entrust you with more. Think of the parable of the talents. I'll give you one talent, you five, you ten. Now, how are you going to steward that abundance? It's by giving it away, by building the kingdom of God, by being righteous with what you have. Sabbath. Rest. Laying worries aside, trusting God's provision. You know, when we have that abundance and we give it away, it's rewarding, isn't it? When we give of our time and someone goes, wow, thank you so much for your time. It was so wonderful to be loved. Thank you so much for that dollar. God bless you. Thank you so much for hosting coffee chat and giving of your gifts. Thank you for feeding the hungry, for employing the unemployable, for loving the hurting. John Wesley was a great preacher in the early 1900s, and he spoke of what a godly heart looks like motivated when it first seeks the kingdom of God. He, in the sermon, he suggests a heart that seeks first the kingdom of God becomes a generous heart. And so he just said, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Keep teaching stewardship. Don't let your own anxiety keep you from these tasks. There is so much joy and give back in living for God in a stewardly way. Sabbath means that we can rest from our worry because God continues to care for the most intimate details of our lives. We recognize and can be assured that God's design ensures that creation has it all. And so we can rejoice in jubilee every day, assured of this abundance of provision. There's no room for hoarding here in this worldview of God. Only good stewardship. Because there's enough to go around. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we listen to these words and we hear your word. And we long to respond to it with our trust. We long to respond to it by setting aside our worries in these unsettling times. And Lord, we know that sin is such a big part of the injustice and inequity of it all. And so much of that is out of our control. And sometimes we experience the effects of that ourselves where where there are times where we don't have enough. There are people who are still hungry and hurting and homeless and dying. Lord, we just humble ourselves today in a renewed trust. You've got us. In life and in death, you've got us. And we recognize also that most of us here today have way more than we need. We got closets chocked full of stuff that we've forgotten about. We've got fridges packed full. Sometimes we don't even know how to decide what to eat because there's just so many options. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would renew our hearts and renew us to seek first your kingdom, to have that relationship with you so that we know what your will is so that we can live it. And so that we can make that decision to fulfill the mandate of being good stewards of everything that we have, our time, our relationships, our homes, our finances, our excess food. And Lord, in all of this, we give you thanks. And we worship you by giving you our trust. And in return, we ask for a renewal of our hearts and our soul and our mind. We ask for rest from our worry and our work. We ask, Lord Jesus, that we might experience the wonderful promised peace of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you leave today, I'm going to have out in the back, it's just a little meditation, an opportunity to just reflect on what God has provided to nourish you in different ways. It's just a starter thing. It's a tactile thing. But you can continue your meditation of this message in any way that you see fit throughout this week. Let's continue praying, in a sense, as we sing for God to build his kingdom here, even as it starts in our own hearts and lives. Let's stand and sing. The Apostle Paul writes that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Go out, filled and guided by the Holy Spirit to bear fruit with all whom you meet, both today and every day. And may the peace of God dwell in you richly. Amen.